الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله جل وعلا في الكتاب المبين والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تبارك وتعالى لم يبعثني معنتا ولا متعنتا ولكن الله تبارك وتعالى بعثني معلما ميسرا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders, beloved brothers and friends in Islam, if there is one absolute certainty that every person, every individual, every fraternity, every group has to acknowledge and accept with regards to life, then ironically, this absolute certainty with regards to life is death itself. Every single one of us at some point in time will have to face death, after which we will be presented before Allah Azza wa Jal. At this time, we will have to account for the actions of dunya. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فَمَنْ زُحْسِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Accountability will have to do with the huquq of Almighty Allah as well as the huquq of the ibad of Allah, the servants of Allah. So for the good that one did in this world, one will find the proportion thereof on his scales of good. For the abuse of the rights and the huquq of your brother, you will find the detriment thereof on your scales of evil. This is the matter of akhirat. We will come back to this. What of the matters of dunya? What of the matters of this life? Currently, this ummah is in a state of agony and pain. Yet, if one were to page through the annals of history, the Salaf Salihin, our pious predecessors, they led amazing expeditions. They fought fearlessly, incidents of courage and valor and honor and bravery. They set sail into the open seas and broadened and expanded the boundaries of the Islamic Empire. They liberated millions of Muslims from Christians, from mercenaries, from others at whose hands they were being persecuted. They laid siege and penetrated entire fortresses, cities, walls that stood strong for centuries upon centuries. Yet today, we are a broken ummah. Untold persecution, untold hardship, much of the weapons, the arsenal of this world, the predator drones, the battleships, the warplanes, cruise missiles locked and loaded with their sights fixed upon our brothers and sisters. What is it that has changed? How do we go back to our golden days of glory? What is the solution to this problem that we face? What is it that we are ought to be doing differently today? Let's go back to those annals. 1,100 years ago, there lived a person by the name of Ahmad bin Miskin. And he narrates a dream. We spoke of Akhirat and the affairs of Akhirat. And he said, in this dream, I see myself presented on the plains of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارُ. On that day when a mother will abandon her little child, a son will flee from his father. On that day when this earth will be transformed into another earth altogether, Allah, the one prevailing, will prevail. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانِ وَتَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. On the day of Qiyamah, you will see the transgressors, the mujrimeen, the wrongdoers being dragged about in chains and shackles. Their clothes will be made of molten fire. Their faces will be smoldered in flames. This is what I see before me. The announcement is made that the mizan, the scales have been lowered. My name is called out and I am made to step into the court of Almighty Allah. Now on the night that he sees this dream, what had transpired during the day? He says, Allah had certainly tested me. I was going through much difficulty, much hardship, much poverty, abject poverty. And I sat at home, I had a little child, a toddler, and my wife, both of them turning and tossing with the pains and the pangs of hunger. I could not see my family in this state, so I decided to go to the masjid. And as I was walking, I made the intention in my heart that, oh Allah, tomorrow after the Fajr Salah at the masjid, I will auction off my house. My house in itself was what we call a kacha ghar, a mud hut, not of much value. But, oh Allah, I will auction off this home. Oh Allah, I will be outside on the streets, exposed to predators, to the bitter cold climate, with my little toddler and my beloved. Oh Allah, you take care of our affairs. I went into the masjid and I started crying to my Allah. A person walking by heard the sound, so he came to the door of the masjid. When I looked back, I saw my bosom buddy, my best friend, Abu Nasab Khayyat. So he tells me, Ahmed, now in the dead of night, in this ghastly hour, this bitter cold weather, what it is that you do over here? And I called out to him, I said, my friend, there is no formalities between you and I. Al-Ju, hunger, hunger has brought me out. My friend was also going through difficulty. He took out a cloth, and inside that cloth was two pieces of dry bread. And he says, Ahmed, take this and go feed your family. My turn to eat will come another day. If you drive through the Transkei, all those small towns, Mount Alif, Mount Freer, till Butterworth, you will see massive billboards, ShopRite billboards, a loaf of bread for 5 rand. A person has 50 rand, you can buy 10 loaves of bread. Has Allah not favored us? Has Allah not been most compassionate to us? Yet we continue living in this manner, in the disobedience of Almighty Allah. Nonetheless, he says, I clasped onto these two pieces of bread. And in the darkness, I saw a figure behind me. When I looked over, I saw a woman, and she held a blanket. And from inside the blanket, I heard a whimpering. And I saw a little child, a masoom face, and this face was fixed on the two pieces of bread that I had. this woman did not say anything, but I knew this woman. She was also very much in need. And I thought to myself that, oh Allah, my child is not in anticipation of anything. My child has not seen these two pieces of bread. So I took this entire hanky as it is and I gave it to this woman. And I told her that I give it to you, but with much pain in my heart, I am going to go home empty-handed. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala changes my circumstances. And when this woman hears my plight and my condition and my selflessness, she sheds one single drop of tear. Abu Nasab Khayyat is narrating the dream that I've been brought now, I've been made to step into the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the announcement is made that bring his good and put it on this mizan, on the scale. I never missed my salah, I kept all my fasts. But what I anticipated did not materialize. I was an affluent person. I had a reputation in society. Much of my actions were tainted with riyakari, with pompousness and show. Nonetheless, in the back of my mind, I knew that I was not one who involved in haram, in zina, in gambling, in alcohol. He says, when my bad was taken and placed onto the scale, my good resembled dust and my bad resembled mountains. And my heart sank that this is the end of the road for me. I've been made to bite the dust. Nonetheless, the angels call out, هَلْ بَقِيَ لَهُ شَيْءٍ. They will be insaf. Is there anything else to the name of this person? They say, yes, he's got one more thing. He's got two pieces of dry bread. I thought, my Allah, what weight will two pieces of dry bread hold today? When this is placed onto my scale, then my scale of good picks up, but still it is not in my favor. And again my heart sinks, that I've come so close, yet I'm so far away. The malaika look at me and they call out, هَلْ بَقِيَ لَهُ شَيْءٍ. Is there anything else for this person? If he is to make it, it is eternal happiness. And if he is to fail today, it is detriment for a very, very long time. They reply, yes, he's got one more item, one more thing to his name. He's got one drop of salty water, one tear. I thought, oh Allah, what value will one drop of salty water have before these mountains of evil that I have? When it was brought onto my scale of good, my good resembled mountains and my evil resembled dust. This is the reward of selflessness. Despite being in so much of difficulty, seeing to the needs of another person. Anyway, he's sleeping. And he wakes up, he hears his voice, his friend Abu Nasab calls out to him, that what are you still doing in the masjid? So I explained to him that the two pieces of bread that you gave to me, I gave it away to somebody else. He says, did you not go home? I dropped off a bag of gold for you at home. So this was his friend. He tells him, don't make a joke about this. And he explains to him that someone had owed my father a lot of money, and I am the only heir to my father's estate. And I thought in my mind that this will never come. And this person came and repaid that debt. I've divided it into portions and I've left one portion for you at home as well. The reward of selflessness. One is the aspect of akhirat and one is the aspect of dunya. Here we find an ummah that is being butchered and burnt and bludgeoned. If there is one thing that we take home today, in whatever way or form that we are capable, be selfless. Create the bonds of unity. Foster ties of brotherhood. There is no doubt that there is a systematic effort in place to eradicate Islam. Muslim populations being diluted, Muslims being put into concentration camps, so-called re-education camps, a systematic effort to eradicate Islam. At this point, do we go and sever ties with one another? Or do we foster the bonds of brotherhood? Leave alone causing someone physical harm. Leave alone hurting your brother physically. Leave alone making it your objective to destroy somebody else's business. If a person likes a certain dish, a steak for example, and he likes it to be prepared medium to well done, with a hard crust, and he likes the condiments that comes with it, and it's prepared and it's plated and it's fine dining and it's presented to him, and then he enjoys this dish and he relishes it, and after he has eaten to his full and he is satisfied, he is asked that this dish that was prepared to you, did you like it? And you say, well, certainly it was divine, I've enjoyed it. Is it Wagyu or is it Kobe or what is this? What cut is it? And then if this person were to be told that your brother who died a few hours ago, we took out one fine cut, we prepared it and served it to you, what would be this person's curiosity and anger? أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. What would be the curiosity and anger of a person if this were to happen? Can you imagine the anger of Almighty Allah when we as much as backbite about one another? Dear brothers and friends, we cannot have these qualities of hypocrisy and the double standards where we claim to feel the grief of our brothers and sisters suffering in all parts of the world, yet we ourselves drive a wedge between each other. This is contrary to the teachings of Islam. This is the difference between us and the Salaf al-Salihin. About 700 years ago, the city of Baghdad was under siege. The Mughal army was led by the direct grandson of Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan, Hulagu Khan was his name. According to certain narrations, 40,000 people were butchered. The entire city was razed to the ground. Ancient masajid building architecture was burnt. The libraries, the kutub, the books were taken and dumped into the river to such an extent that for days and days on end, the waters of the river would flow black as the ink washed off. Anyway, this person, Hulagu Khan, after the city has been captured, he sends a delegation inside and he says, go and bring the greatest alim, the greatest scholar from the city. So naturally nobody wanted to meet with this person. So one youngster, a young alim, inexperienced, what we would say fresh from Darul Uloom, he volunteers and he says, it's okay, I will go, I will talk to him. So it was a custom at the time that if a diplomatic delegation were to go, then you would take some gifts with you. But the Baytul Mal was already plundered, it was looted. And there was no enthusiasm of taking any gift to a person who has butchered 40,000 people. But in paying respect to the custom and the tradition, this youngster Qadi Khan, from his own personal possessions, as he's leaving his house, he remembers his tradition. He takes his camel, one goat and one little bird. And he goes out to meet Hulagu Khan, the direct grandson of Genghis Khan, the leader of the mighty Mughal army. So Genghis Khan looks at him and takes this as an insult, that I've asked for the greatest scholar to be brought, and they've brought somebody like you. So this youngster looks down, and then he says, that if it is someone big with broad shoulders that you would like to talk to, then I've got this camel here, you can talk to this camel. Perhaps you were expecting someone with a big white beard. I've got this goat, you can talk to the goat. I don't have a way with words. I'm not very eloquent. I don't have a loud and powerful voice. But if that's what you want, I've got a rooster, you can talk to this chicken. But what you see is what you get. So Hulagu Khan realizes that on his feet, he was able to give such a response, this is a person of wisdom. And he tells him that, I want you to explain to me from your scriptures, that why am I here today? Why have I burnt down your masajid? Why have I decimated this place? And he replies that you coming here today and gaining victory of us, over us, this has nothing to do with you. This is no credit to your name. This is a weakness on our part. that we have become divided. We have started harboring animosity and jealousy and hatred towards one another. And that is why you were able to come here and infiltrate today. So he asks him, that if that is the case, then how will I go away from here? Why don't you get rid of me? And his reply is that when the hearts of the Muslims will bond together once again, then there will be no way for you to infiltrate these walls again. You will be forced to leave this place. This is the same message that is ought to resonate with us today. The problems that the ummah faces, we are the building blocks of this ummah. You and I, in our personal capacity, whatever we are able to do, live in a way that we are selfless. Foster the ties of brotherhood. It is a very, very sad state of affairs that sometimes, as a result of dunyawi matters, monetary items, we sever ties with our own blood brothers, matters of inheritance and business, etc. That if this person in dunya, Nabi Kareem SAW tells us that if you had an entire valley of gold, أَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيَانِ, you would wish that you had two valleys of gold. وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا الطُّرَابِ, nothing will satisfy the love and the lust of this dunya until the dirt and the dust and the gravel of the grave settles into the belly and the mouth of this insan. Foster ties of brotherhood. Foster ties of unity. Do good unto one another. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, a great scholar, a great warrior, he was known, his efforts, his contributions towards demarcating the boundaries of the Islamic Empire. And it is recorded that in his life he performed Hajj in excess of 50 times. So at one such safar of Hajj, as you can imagine, at that time it would take months upon months, and the delegation that would accompany him. So on the safar of Hajj, he sees a person going in the opposite direction. So he tells him that we are all headed towards the Baytullah and you are going in the opposite direction. So this person replies that, O Abdullah, not all of us are as fortunate as you are. Not all of us have the provisions that you have. We also have the longing and the yearning in our hearts to go year upon year for Hajj, but we don't have the means. Abdullah bin Mubarak gets off his camel laden with the provisions of Hajj, and they exchange reins. He tells him, you take this camel and you go for Hajj. I will take yours and I will go home. Nonetheless, he goes home. One day somebody comes home and they tells him, O Abdullah, I've come to return this money that I have borrowed from you. He was a businessman. So he says, okay, tell me, when did you borrow this money? And he says, in this year, in the Mataf, in front of the Ka'batullah, I took this loan from you. So Abdullah bin Mubarak tells him that, I've been for Hajj many times, but this is the one year that I did not go for Hajj. So perhaps you are mistaken, go and give it to its rightful owner. So this person, he becomes relentless, and he tells him that this loan that I had taken, I had used to purchase the provisions of Hajj, and you not accepting my repayment would may put the acceptance of my Hajj at jeopardy. So Abdullah bin Mubarak tells him, go away, go and find the rightful owner. He comes back the next day, the third day again. That night, he sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream. And Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that this act of selflessness was so beloved to Almighty Allah that Allah has deputed an angel who till the day of Qiyamah will perform Hajj on your behalf. And while this person was in need, Allah Ta'ala used that same angel to take care of his needs as well. Tremendous reward in Akhirat. Our reward of dunya is that if we are able to stand together, we have a fighting chance about enemies that attack us from all directions. We need to bring these changes within ourselves. It is only when we inculcate these changes within ourselves that we will see Allah will open the doors of victory and fatah upon us. Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to make amal.